Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, really good. Thanks so much for joining me. I thought it would be a really different interview for the show. I think people need to know more about the oceans.
Yeah, thanks for getting in touch. It was a really nice surprise.
Oh, no problem. But I really like interviewing kind of different people in industries that inspire me. And I've not done one actually yet about kind of the environment and the ocean. And it's something I've wanted to do for a while. So I thought, why not ask you? And you said yes. I was like, brilliant.
Amazing. Yeah, no, that's super cool. I love talking about this. So
cool. Well, shall I just dive straight into it?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
Cool. Great to have you on the show. So I'd love you to tell listeners a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Rowan Henthorne and I'm a marine scientist. My work at the moment focuses around plastics and plastic pollution in our oceans, and then also climate change and how our oceans can actually be restored and protected to actually help us in the sort of transition to a zero carbon future.
I feel like we need like a short guide to people that just don't know why there's an issue. If you could do that, that'd be great.
Yeah, sure. So I guess for the last couple of hundred years or so, we've been seeing the oceans and our environment as a resource, and sort of an unlimited resource and something that could help us prosper without kind of understanding that we need to, it's a two-way relationship, and we need to make sure that we are looking after those natural systems and not taking too much, and you know, really watching what we're putting into those oceans. So you know, for a long time our waste management has seen the ocean as a source of a, you know, a unlimited source of to be able to take our waste, and you know that, and now we kind of understand that that's not quite true.
Yeah. And so let's go back to the very beginning. When did your love of the ocean start? How did it all begin?
Yeah, I was really lucky growing up on the Isle of Man. My dad used to be a commercial diver, so he would get us in the water as much as possible. And we used to go snorkeling down at a place called Langness, and we'd have sort of seals swimming around us, and you know, or we'd spend time watching, you know, looking in rock pools, and that really really ignited that interest in me. And I don't think I was ever really very clever at school was not really my thing.
I hear you.
But I realized that you could do there was a course called ocean science at university, and I'd kind of managed to scramble enough to maybe get to university, and then as soon as I went in that first lecture, I realized, wow, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So I was very lucky, and that's where the sort of real passion started, I suppose.
That's so nice. And you're actually based on the Isle of Man now, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. So I've travelled quite a few different places and worked in places all over the world, but at the moment I'm back here, and it's really nice to try and make a difference, you know, to the place that first inspired me. And yeah, I'm enjoying it here. I don't know if I'll be here forever, but we'll see. But right now I'm enjoying being here and trying to put something good back into my community.
Yeah, that's really nice, because I think a lot of us think, oh, if we need to make a big impact, we've got to travel the world and we've got to do it here and there. But if you can actually make an impact in your local community and where you already are, and I think that's sometimes what puts people off.
Oh, 100%. I'm such a huge advocate for that. I think, you know, you really should try and, there's a saying, tend to the garden that you can touch, and touch what's around you. And you know, even that doesn't have to be about being into science or, you know, engineering or technology. It can be as simple as being kind to your neighbor, or, you know, considerate to the person that needs a hand with their shopping bags. And, you know, that's really how we're going to change the world. You know, all these huge fancy technology that, you know, it's actually fundamentally about kindness and respect and compassion, and that's how we're going to change the world and combat a lot of these environmental issues that we face.
And that's also, I think, during lockdown it's been very eye-opening in that respect. People have kind of gone, oh, we need to support more locally, and everybody needs a helping hand, especially when we're stuck indoors. So it's been a really interesting time for that.
Yeah, I think it's been a really good time to sort of reflect and reflect on what's actually important to us. And I know for me and, you know, my friends and family and a lot of people that I've spoken to, they found that the important things are spending time with their loved ones or being outside in the natural world. And, you know, we've kind of been told this idea that we need stuff to make us happy. And I think COVID's actually helped us to realize that we don't. That's you know, that's not what we need at all. We need each other and we need a beautiful natural environment. And that's what really sustains, you know, natural happiness.
Oh, I could end the interview there. That's such a nice nice message, but I'm not going to. Okay, so in your line of work, do you find then there is a lot of travel? Are you kind of placed in one location for a long time, or is there a lot more travel?
I think it depends what you do as a marine scientist. So I have a friend who's a turtle biologist and she...
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, she's got an amazing job, and part of her work is kind of understanding the different populations of turtles all around the world, and that needs quite a lot of travel. At the moment, I'm doing quite a lot of stuff on policy and stuff locally, and I mean, I'll have to travel to the odd conference and that sort of stuff, but I'm trying not to travel as much as possible, and actually that's another good outcome of COVID, I guess, you know, that introduction of being able to do a meeting via Zoom. And I mean, I love to travel, but you know, just for the planet, I'm having to kind of curb that as much as possible. So it's great to connect with people over the internet.
Yeah, it's so true. We forget that, don't we? You forget, oh, it's good for the planet if we don't travel as much, but you kind of want to save the world.
Yeah, it's a constant balancing act, I think. And, you know, it's very easy. I think something that, you know, a lot of people who maybe aren't quite on that environmental path yet kind of go for the hypocrite, you know, you're being a hypocrite, and everybody's kind of being a hypocrite because we're kind of living in a system that doesn't quite work for the planet. So it's a constant balancing act of sort of, you know, of gaining and progressing what we need to progress, but not doing it in a way that damages the planet too much.
Yeah, so interesting. I am going to have to try and keep this as short as possible, but I could talk for hours with you on this. So I'm going to jump into, so you went on an all-female sailing voyage, didn't you, to investigate the effects of plastic on the ocean. I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, I did. I travelled from Hawaii to Vancouver across the Great Pacific Garbage Patch with 14 amazing women. So they were we were from all different backgrounds. I was one of two scientists on board, but there were teachers, filmmakers, policymakers, people that design plastic products, and you know, that was what was so special about it, was getting, you know, all these really diverse people in a, I say, in a room, in a boat together crossing an ocean. And yeah, it was incredible. It was about 3 weeks sailing in total. Yeah, it was amazing.
Wow, I can totally imagine. And how come it was all female on the crew?
So it was all female for a number of reasons. So part of that was encouraging more young women into STEMs. So STEM sector is science, technology, engineering and maths. And currently only 12% of that sector is made up of women. So we really want to encourage more women to get into that sector because we really need that diversity and to encourage that kind of different thinking and progression in that sector. And then there's also the fact that plastic pollution actually probably has more of an impact on the female body. You know, what limited research there is out there on the impacts of plastic really is showing that it has the impact, the potential to impact our hormonal and reproductive systems. You know, and that's really important for women. And I don't think that's really, you know, that's not really a story that's told very often. I think a lot of the research is often done on male subjects. So it's just about encouraging women to be aware of this issue and potentially inviting them to make changes that can improve their health and well-being as well.
And you're so right. That's something that I haven't really heard before. And you just don't think that it would affect you any differently. And how did you find the actual voyage itself? Was everyone a marine scientist? Had everyone sailed before? Kind of what was the group of people like?
No and no. So yeah, I was one of two scientists on board, but yeah, there was a real mix of women from all over the world and all different disciplines, and most of us had not sailed. I mean, I'd sailed a little bit and I've worked on boats before, but I'd never sailed across an ocean, and that, you know, that was pretty similar for all the girls on board. So I think the first 5 days of the trip were much rougher than we thought they were going to be, and they were affectionately named the baptism of fire by the skipper, and she sort of said, just hold on, you know, if you can eat, try and eat, but if you're below deck, just lie down, because it's much rougher than you think it's going to be, than we thought it was going to be, but we promise it will calm down, it will calm down. So we definitely had to find our sea legs very quickly.
That's so interesting, because I've done a little bit of sailing, and you don't realize until you go out how choppy it can actually be, and everyone thinks it's great being on a boat, but you've got to then conquer that fear of the ocean and sailing, as well as then going on this amazing journey about investigating plastics. So it must have been a bit like, oh, crikey.
Just in my head, when I had been, you know, imagining this trip, I kind of imagined it on a flat surface, and you don't realize that you're going to be on a 45 degree angle and that you've got to do science and, you know, trying to even hold a beaker as it's sliding down the deck, you know, made everything much more challenging. We kept all of our science equipment in our bunk with us, and we often slept with a lot of containers full of plastic and marine life and all sorts of random bits and bobs. It was quite a smelly cabin by the end of the 3 weeks.
It's not the glamorous yacht that everybody thinks.
Yeah, not quite.
Was there a highlight on that trip? Was there anything, or was there anything like that was a real eye opener? Because obviously you've gone to investigate the effects of plastic. Was there anything that kind of really saddened you?
Yeah, it was an emotional roller coaster of a trip. And I think for me, I kind of had this idea in my head that we would see, I mean, you know, you hear about this island of plastic. And actually, when you get out there and you put your nets in the water and you see all this plastic around you, it looks like the most amazing, beautiful blue ocean out there. But as soon as you put your nets in the water, you come up with thousands of tiny, tiny pieces of plastic. And we sailed through that for 2 weeks. You know, it's so big. So that idea that, you know, it's almost kind of thought that we could go and get a load of boats and a load of nets and clean it up. And the sheer size of it, it's huge. And just, I don't know, I guess when you'd see like these amazing sea creatures, you'd see, we saw dolphins and the most amazing albatross. And you just realize what an impact we have had on this planet. You know, we have not been treating it with the respect that it deserves. And just kind of that realization was really sad, and knowing that you are part of that. And that was quite devastating at points, for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine. And it's something like, we're always so shielded from what we're actually doing. You know, we're just living our daily lives. And sometimes you just need that kind of reality check. But was there anything on that trip that really inspired you, or kind of a best moment?
I think for me, approaching and kind of getting involved in that trip as a marine scientist, probably the most fantastic thing was really meeting all these amazing women from all different backgrounds, all really pushing progress in their own fields. And I think sometimes when you're in the field of science, can kind of feel like you're shouting into a void and nobody's listening and nobody really cares. And you kind of feel a bit like you're on your own trying to struggle against it and trying to convince people to do the right thing, and meeting all these amazing women that are all on the same page but all doing their own thing in their own fields just gave me such a sense of hope, and made me realize it's not just about science, it's about communication, it's about ideas, it's about thinking in a different way, and everybody has the potential to do that. That's what really inspired me. You don't need to necessarily go to university and go down a certain route to make a change. You can make a change tomorrow if you choose to, and if you choose to put that in your mindset. And that made me feel really excited, and that like there's so much possibility.
Yeah, I really love that. And actually, since I've started doing the show over the last year and just interviewing different people, it's the same kind of feeling where you think there are people out there all trying to do their little bit for humanity and kind of all have common interests. And it does make you feel good about life, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think we're told, you know, looking at mainstream media, you're told all the time that, you know, people are bad things happen, And I think that is the minority of things that are going on in this world. The majority of people want to do the right thing and are kind and compassionate. And I think we need to start holding on to a bit more of that, because I don't think what we're being told is true necessarily. And I don't think it's helping us progress and push forward into, you know, to where we need to go, really.
Yeah. Oh, we're on the same page. Definitely. We've spoken about the voyage. I'd love to actually give listeners a few tips on what they can do in their daily life to kind of help with this crisis. Because I think, as we said earlier, it can be a little bit daunting that you think you've got to do all these big things in order to make a difference. But is there anything they can kind of do in their daily life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's, in terms of looking after the ocean, there's so many things that you can do, and it doesn't really matter whether you're living by the sea or not. Obviously, a huge one is to reduce your plastic usage. You know, I know in the UK they're still landfilling things and that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I would really try and cut how much plastic you're using. If you eat seafood, choose sustainable seafood. So a really good way of checking that it's sustainable is if it's MSC certified. It's got like a blue tick that says MSC certified. There are also other blue ticks that other supermarkets have kind of ripped off, so you've got to look for the right one, but that means that it's being sustainably sourced. You can just make conscious decisions, I'd say, and understand that every time that you spend money, you're kind of making a vote for what you care about and what you value. So, you know, where you can buy local produce, if you are buying from a company, make sure that they have good ethics and values, because actually we have the power as the consumer to say what we care about and what we want brands to consider. And that goes for ocean health, but also, you know, social justice and making sure that people are doing, you know, having good working conditions. You know, that all aligns with ocean health and making sure that we're treating the planet fairly. So, you know, make sure that your purchasing power aligns with treating people and the planet fairly. Yeah, all sorts. Let me just see. And just communicate and take the time to maybe do a little bit of research. If you find something interesting, you know, look into it and talk to your friends about it. And, you know, that's really how we're going to shed light on a lot of these issues. Just by having an active interest and talking to people about it, you kind of saw the effect that David Attenborough had from Blue Planet, and it just went crazy.
So, oh, you've got to love him.
Oh, he is the best.
I think I wrote to him when I was a kid and was like, oh, I love you. Can I come on one of your shows? Obviously, that would never happen. But
dressed as a seal. Yeah.
Yes, because I think it can be really daunting not knowing what you want to do. But there's a second question to that, which is, I think some people don't really understand even why the ocean's being so affected by plastic. So I think, like you said, doing that research and talking to people is really, really helpful. But if there's anyone out there who is a budding scientist or would love to get into marine conservation, what do you suggest, any courses that they should do? Yeah, it'd be really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's some fantastic courses all around the UK and some fantastic organisations that you can volunteer with. So you don't, doesn't necessarily have to go into, you know, to studying, but Plymouth University in Southampton and Bangor University do some amazing courses. And I was actually speaking to a young girl the other day who wants to get into marine conservation and photography down in Falmouth, which looks like an amazing course. I was like, wow, blown away by that. But yeah, look what's in your local area. The local wildlife trusts always do a lot of amazing stuff and have volunteer programs. And it's best to, yeah, see what's going on in your area. Every area probably has a different set of issues, and, you know, and with that, you know, beautiful, amazing things that you'll be able to see and experience and enjoy. So it's not all negative. You know, I think often because we have to focus on these problems, it can seem like a bit of a doom or gloom subject, but it's so incredibly rewarding and you'll learn so much and feel connected to the natural world, which, you know, helps our mental health. And we are really becoming, well, we've become very disconnected with our natural world. And I think that's very systematic of our issues of mental health. So getting out in nature, whether it is the ocean or just, you know, into a forest or into a woodland, it has got huge, you know, scientifically proven benefits.
Yeah, I've been reading a lot about blue theory and things like that.
Oh, it's amazing. There's this really good book actually called The Blue Mind by Wallace J. Nichols. So that's a really good one to check out. And that's just all about the science of why humans like the sea. And, you know, it's so interesting when you think about us going, we go on holiday and we'll look at the sea.
Yeah. Is there anything else you like doing? I read that you're a surfer as well. Is that true?
I'd like to go and I wouldn't say I was a surfer, but I like to go in with a surfboard and get smashed around and get a load of water up my nose. But I enjoy that, and I love going free diving as well. Just anytime I can get in the ocean, I will be in the ocean. And also, you know, I love going with my friends and my partner and going and making a coffee by the sea. Oh. You know, it's just those little things that really give me a lot of joy in life. So that's where you'll find me.
Yeah, and actually I think people are now, especially in the UK, are starting to discover that the UK has a lot to offer in terms of amazing beaches and the ocean, but you always think you have to travel far to go and have these big experiences, but you really don't, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
There's some really amazing coastline.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it kind of goes back to that theme, realizing what's important, and actually reading a book by the sea anywhere is amazing, and you don't necessarily need to hop on a plane to go and do that and have that relaxation and that enjoyment from that experience. And hopefully lockdown has sort of helped people to realize that a little bit more.
Yeah, so true. We have to pull all the positives we can. I've actually got a listener's question, and they've asked what your favorite animal is. Obviously ocean animal.
Yeah, it's such a tricky one. So many, but one that I really enjoy is they're called little cleaner wrasse, and you find them on reefs all over the world, and they're like these little, they kind of look like a little sweet, I guess. They kind of look humbug stripes, but blue and yellow, and they'll actually clean you if you spend enough time in the ocean and around them. So I was working in a dive center in Bali, and if you kind of get, I feel like if you get comfortable enough in the sea, they maybe think that you're a marine creature, and they'll pick off any of the dead skin on your legs and arms. And such a weird experience, but just kind of made me feel really connected to the ocean, that I said, so that they maybe thought I was a sea creature. So probably makes me sound a bit weird, but I think they're amazing. They're great. And in the UK, I'd say seals.
Oh yeah.
Seals are amazing and you know, so charismatic, and they like look into your soul. So they're amazing as well.
See, I love that answer, because I'm sure a lot of people just be like, oh, the big ones, you know, like sharks or whales or whatever. But I love it. And actually, I did recently see that you have your own podcast called Making Waves. And I listened to one episode, which I think was about basking sharks, and it was brilliant. You know, it was just so interesting.
Oh, amazing. I'm so glad you had a listen. Yeah, Making Waves. It's been a really fun project. And I'm doing it with my friend Aaron Ibanez, who's a journalist over here. And it's just talking to really interesting people about the ocean. So we've spoken to Jackie and Graham, who run the Manx Basking Shark Watch, and talking about these huge, huge friendly sharks. But then we've also talked to people who've made their own submarines, and you know, all sorts of amazing characters. So if you get a chance, it's on all the good podcast provider sites, and it's called Making Waves.
So one thing I did really want to ask you is, do you have a career highlight? Is there just one thing that's happened over the last few years that you're like, yeah, this was the best thing that's ever happened?
I mean, I think the expedition was probably a real highlight, and actually I did a lot of fundraising to help get onto the expedition, and doing all that and having such an amazing community really stand behind me and really support me on something, really, it felt so amazing. And meeting all those incredible women, and I'd have to say that's probably my highlight. I mean, we've already spoken about it, but it was just the most incredible experience, and nothing can quite match crossing an ocean and spending time. I guess as a marine scientist, a lot of your time is not spent on the ocean. You have to kind of be at a computer doing bits and bobs. So actually to spend that time and look and be on this ocean for 21 days was amazing, was definitely a highlight.
Yeah. Oh, I can totally imagine. Have you got any other expeditions coming up? Obviously, the situation's a bit different at the moment.
Yeah, I'm in talks with a guy in Australia that really wants to sail around the world for the climate, sort of called the End of the Earth Challenge. I think at the end of the Earth Climate Challenge. And it was meant to go ahead next year, but I think they are pushing it back a year, obviously, because of COVID. So I want to try and help do a lot of the coordination for the climate change research on board. So that's on the horizon, which is exciting.
Oh, that's super exciting.
Yeah, and hopefully I'm going to sail with them across the equator from Rio up to Trinidad, maybe. So that would be amazing as well. So just trying to get out on the ocean as much as possible.
Yeah, it's so interesting because you never think, oh, you meet marine scientists, you think, oh, you must always be in the sea. But no, you're, like you said, you're doing policy or you're behind the computer.
Yeah, a lot of the time you're actually convincing people to care about it. So it's really important to spend that time for yourself in the ocean or, you know, doing expeditions, because it gives you that fire in your belly to make sure that you can keep talking to politicians and the people that have the power to make decisions. And you have to do that from a place of passion, because that's how you get people to listen to you.
Yeah, it's so true. Right. I think I know the answer to this one, but I'm going to have to ask you because I ask it to all guests, which is there one thing you do every day that makes you feel good and happy?
Ooh, I mean, I probably don't get in the ocean every day. I get in a lot, you know, as much as I can. So I'd say couple of times a week, but I just try and have a laugh and be silly. there's a huge amount to be said for being silly, so I will try and be silly as much as I can, and I think taking a bit of silliness into places that you shouldn't be silly is a fantastic way to kind of make connections with people and break that silly stigma down that you get from being in workplaces where you're meant to be important and proper and professional. So I think take a bit of silliness and have a laugh, enjoy life.
I love that. I've not actually had that answer before, so it's perfect. And it's really honest. So yeah, thank you for that answer.
Oh, well, thank you so much for taking the time to interview me. It's such a really nice thing for you to have approached me to do. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Like, thank you to you as well. Like, I find this stuff fascinating, and it's really lovely to be able to interview you and also hear about some of the work that's currently happening. So yeah, thank you. And I'll speak to you soon.